Hi, I'm Janelle.
And I'm Monique.
And welcome to Is Marriage Worth It?
We are just two single chicks, girls, women.
Anything but females.
Trying to figure out what marriage is like and is it worth it?
I'm assuming the best place to get the answers is from married people. Maybe engaged people, newlyweds, and even other singles.
Each episode, we will have a guest answering different questions we have or that you may have about marriage.
Join us as we try to figure out, is marriage worth it?
And if it is, I wonder if my future husband or yours is listening right now.
Hi, I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And welcome back to another episode of
Is Marriage Worth It?
So our guests today are Branson and Dinah. And funny enough, Branson is my cousin. But I don't know anything about his life or anything like that. I've only met him, I think, one time. And so The way that they became guests, my sister is the one that said, hey, guys, you should probably do the podcast. I imagine that's what she said.
Probably over a few months, like too.
Over a few months. She did. She certainly did.
And so look at where we are now. Thank you guys so much for accepting the invitation to be on the pod.
No problem. It's our pleasure. It truly is.
All righty. So to kick things off, can you just tell us a little bit about yourselves?
We are Branson and Dinah Braid.
I am an OB nurse and mom of two boys. I currently work in labor and delivery, but I also have my own business that I'm starting up to give postpartum support to moms. And working on being a better Black woman day by day. My 35th birthday is in less than 2 weeks.
Coming up.
Excited about my 35th birthday. So that's a little snippet of me.
I'm Branson Braid, her husband. But I am a father of two. I also work as a security consultant. So I've been in IT for 15 years, work as a security consultant, but also I treat music as my main hobby. So I also play the saxophone semi-professionally within my own right. Okay, professionally, yes, professionally.
Humble brag.
I mean, it's my small personal business of sorts. So, but yeah, no, we've been married for 8 years, going on nine. Mm-hmm. It'll be 9 years in January. So
technically, it's November.
Yeah.
We got secret married in November.
Yeah, we'll talk
our
about
wedding
that.
Was in January.
We'll talk
yes,
about
we need
that.
To talk about that.
So. All right. So we're just going to rewind it back. How did you guys meet?
That's
it's a two-part story.
It's a multi-layer story. It's actually interesting every time we talk about it because it conflicts in different ways, but it also didn't start when we met. We are from the general same area of Houston. And so we happened
to say that our families went to the same church. Our parents went to the same church as there as together.
Okay.
And so our families already knew each other, but I did not know he existed until I met him at church. That's where we met at church. Mm-hmm. So that's my origin story for he and I, but he has a different origin story for me.
So my best men in our wedding, I had two best men in our wedding, have been best friends with me since childhood, but they're also from church. Mm-hmm. So I happened to used to go to the same church that her family went to, and she had no idea I was there because I would be in the sound booth at the back with my friends. Okay. So she didn't know I existed exactly. The entire time. But I would always watch her walk by the glass and say, that's the one. But I was also 12. So there was that. So I didn't take it seriously for myself. She didn't know I existed until a year after college.
And add in that I knew his oldest sister. So he has a sister before and after him. I knew his eldest sister since like middle school. Didn't know she had any siblings. So just like all the intertingling of our families.
Yeah.
And our paths didn't really officially cross until 2011.
11. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Our parents knew each other from like way back when we were non-existent, they knew each other. Yeah.
The 6 degrees of separation is really one or two.
Y'all want to lie? Really something? I give it as my two truths and a lie. I was at his baby shower. So when his mom was pregnant with him, we were going through pictures and I was like, oh, let's see mom's pregnant. I was like, there's my aunt. And there's me. I'm right there next to the belly. I was at the shower because I'm 2 years older than he is.
Okay.
That is wild.
So it's just like bound to happen some kind of way, but it took a long time for it to actually happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was so confused how you're like, oh, our parents went to the same church when we were younger. I was like, didn't you go to the same church too?
No, by the time that we got here, church had separated and we had started going to different churches.
Oh, okay.
And so, but they knew each other from back in the day. Like we have old pictures of our parents like from back together. In the day, but we didn't technically go to church together until I joined the church after we started dating.
That is so crazy.
Interestingly enough, my family is from Dominica. The Commonwealth, but Dinah's family is from
St. Croix, the Virgin Islands.
Nice.
And his mom grew up, spent time in her lifetime.
My mom grew up in St. Croix. On St. Croix. My mom left Dominica and went to go live with her sister in St. Croix. So my mom actually knew her father before they even came to the U.S.
That is. It's meant to be obvious.
Correct. But just in the right timing, though. Yeah. Like it didn't happen for a reason. Because also, I went to Howard University and he wanted to go to Howard University. He didn't go because he was a few points short in his GPA.
One point. So they didn't give him a full ride. ACT.
And so he did not go to Howard.
I missed a full ride scholarship to Howard.
Time.
Mm-hmm. By one
okay,
point.
Howard.
And instead, I ended up at Texas A&M University, which shaped me in different ways and actually ended up making me be home and available when she came back from school.
That's true.
So there, we believe that God has his way within everything.
The timing was a big deal.
The timing was a really big deal.
Y'all,
I know, Monique, you don't know enough about me.
It's okay. Because
it's a wild story.
It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, if a stranger, technically you, but y'all coming up with this, I'm just like,
yeah.
Have you read this story before? No, because it would be too crazy for them to put it in a book.
Mm-hmm. It really makes sense that, yeah. But it was meant to be. Here we are. We've been together for 12 years.
12 years as of July.
Yeah.
So then how did you two meet? We have a lot of backstory, but how did you two like...
Interesting.
We met at church. We met at our current church.
Okay.
The story conflicts a little bit.
He says I came to church a Sabbath before. It was a Sabbath keeper. So he says we came to church the Sabbath before that with a friend, but I do not remember that Sabbath. I remember the one Sabbath that I came with a friend and I turned to the right and I was like, ooh. He's cute. Who's with a friend?
So I worked the sound booth at church.
Right.
And I'm at the back. And so anybody walks through the door, I see first. And I happen to look through the window and my eyes were deceiving me. But then she opened the door and I said, wow, it's really her. I knew who she was. She had no idea who I was.
And so
you knew who she was that you knew her name or you knew who she was as
I knew her name. I knew exactly who she was. This was the era of you see people on Facebook in passing and you decide whether or not you're going to add them as a friend. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't added her as a friend because I didn't know her. So
I would have accepted your friend request, boo.
Well, you did.
But yeah, we came in. I came with the church. I was church hopping. And so a friend was like, you know, I'm going to Bethel this week. So I was like, okay, cool. And I picked her up and we went, saw him. I was like, okay. So I was like, you know, asking her, like, who's that? She's like, you mean Chad? Like, him? And I'm like, yeah. And so he approached the same friend asking, like, what's up with Dinah?
After church, that exact same
thing. So talked to the same friend. And he claims he got my number from his sister and called me to take me out on a date, but he didn't leave a voicemail. So that is only God knows the truth. But I ended up adding him on Facebook later that week. And we started messaging each other on Facebook, through Facebook Messenger, that
four
we
changed
numbers. And we talked to each other like consistently for the next like 4 days. Okay. Then when I saw him next.
The interesting part is She didn't know that I was so available to talk to her, because after maybe the day after we met at church, and I didn't call her, which I did, but I didn't believe in leaving a message for the first time you talk to somebody. I went to go play basketball and I ended up spraining my ankle with a grade 3 sprain.
And next time I saw him, he was on crutches and he said nothing.
So but I was laid up in bed the house for and he was 4 days available to message on Facebook. So I was in that thing, dedicated time. But and it's a funny part of the story, but I realized that I wanted to impress her when she said I could come by the house, we could sit outside and talk. And I was rolling out the driveway and my parents drove up and my dad had his brand new Volvo at the time. And I looked at him and I was driving my 99 Pathfinder. And I said, "Dad, I'm about to go see Dinah. Do you mind if I drive the whip?" And he looked at my mom. They looked at each other and they smiled and laughed. And he said, "Let me park. You can take my car." What reason do I have to take this man's expensive vehicle on one sprained ankle? So I drive up in a really nice vehicle.
Sit on the porch.
To go.
We sat in the backyard because we both lived with our parents at the time.
Right.
So we both sat in the backyard for a few hours, had a really good conversation, just letting it all, like I said, I'm 2 years older than him. So I was in my master's program. Mm-hmm. He was still finishing up his program at U of H. And so I was just kind of like laying it on the line. I wasn't necessarily looking to date, but if I was going to date, I didn't want my time being wasted. So kind of, and my mother raised me to like tell people where I stand so that there's no confusion later on, especially if you try to challenge me. I told you this is what it is. Right. Huh. So it was that kind of conversation, getting to know one another, having general conversation, but also like learning where we stood when it came to like moving forward. If this is something serious or if this is like within the first week.
Yeah. First week. This is not anywhere down the line. This is within the first week.
So we had that good conversation. And I was like, okay. And so he told me that after that conversation, he was like, "Yeah, it's wrapped." He was He called all the other girls that he was talking to and was like, "I'm so sorry. I found my wife. Bye."
I did at the time.
And we've been getting together ever since.
Yeah. And it was funny because my dad at the time, he pulled me aside and he was like, "You understand women at that point in age in life are not looking to play games. They're dating with intention." And I told him, I honestly am doing the same. I was not trying to waste my time anywhere past the investment that I had made during college of people and getting to know people. I was like, I'm not trying to waste my time after college like that. So I think we both showed up, like we said, at the right time with the right intention. So it was interesting.
I love that.
That's the way the story is unfolding. I'm just like sitting here, just like, wow. Like, wait, what? Wow. So, Dinah, did you know the same time that he knew that he was like, "All right, this is it. She's the one." Ready after that conversation.
Let's go ahead and give the truth of the matter.
Did you know?
Did I know?
At that moment.
Not at that moment. No, I know I did really like him and I was interested in getting to know him more. I didn't have really any other prospects of like dating anyone else. I was just in my master's program, just doing my work. I was a little lonely because I was here. I went to DeBakey in Houston and then I went to Howard and everybody stayed in Texas. And then when I came back to Texas, everybody left for my grad school. So like I was all by myself. Like all my friends were already gone and I was here. So him being so available kind of played in his favor, too, because we did a lot of things together. We like to eat. He came over the house a lot. Like my mom would be like, "Chad is here again." but investing the time. So over time, I was like, you know, I would say maybe like a month and a half in. And I was like, OK, I think if this is it, then I'm good.
So an important wrinkle in that is we had a courtship. We made an intention that the first 3 months we were going to court each other. We yes, we're exclusive, but we understood what came with the title and the pressure of all those things. But we were intentional in saying, let's get to know each other. Mm-hmm. We know this might move a little quickly because we're both mature in the fact that we are looking for marriage, not just something random. Mm-hmm. So we're intentional in having a courtship. And after that 3 months, it was just kind of like, yeah, I'm glad we did that. But mm-hmm. but we know why we're here. And to that point, I was always at the house. I worked maybe 3 miles.
Yeah, he was very
from close. Her parents' like house
in 10 minutes.
Yeah,
he was all like after he would get off, he would be over or during lunch.
She'd
over.
Come
and I was actually studying for the lunch. MCAT at the time that we were first started dating. Ooh. So I was always at home at the time. And he came over a lot. And my little sister would be like, oh, everybody would be like, oh, he's still here. And again, 12 years later, he's still here. So we have our own house now. So we're not calling anybody else's face.
Yeah. They didn't like seeing my car in the driveway. They get off the bus and say, he's here again.
But they couldn't say that they didn't know him. Like they already knew his background. That's why everything really, like I said, worked out mm-hmm. very well, very much God ordained. Cause it's not like that he didn't come from good stock. They knew his family.
Right.
They knew how he was raised. So while he was there all the time, it wasn't like I was bringing riffraff home. Mm-hmm. He conducted himself in a way that was respectable. My sister is 10 years younger than me. So when we started dating, she was in middle school. And so sometimes mm-hmm. when he would be at the house before me and she would be at home, he would wait outside just, you know, to avoid any kind of issues or possible issues. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of man that he is. Like, mm-hmm. so during our courtship, I learned who he was. Mm-hmm. And I also was still learning more about myself too. Just trying to, you know, if this is something that we move forward, not saying that we're getting married next week, but just let me make right. sure that I'm ready. Cause I haven't really been in a committed relationship like this.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure that it would work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess since you guys knew each other's family and I guess friends kind of, was there ever a moment where you guys had to bring each other around and be like, this is my girlfriend, this is my boyfriend?
Did we just showing up know? Places?
So it's interesting within our church circles, we kind of just started showing up places. and it was kind of like, I know both of your parents. You such and such son, you such and such daughter. And it was kind of a light bulb of, ooh, that's a joining. Mm-hmm. But also within our friends group, her friends from Texas mm-hmm. went to school with me at Texas A&M.
My best friend from high school went to school with him. So
but also multiple people from her school.
Okay, went to school with you, but did you know them in school?
I don't know.
At A&M.
At A&M.
Yes.
So at Texas A&M, there are 2% mm-hmm. Black students right. on campus. So yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I pledged at Texas A&M. They saw my face. So people knew me. So she also, so it was interesting that we, yes, had circles that overlapped, mm-hmm. but in all honesty, those circles became points of validation for us.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Marissa's a good dude.
Yeah. Like
that's a good match.
I had people that could speak to me without even me saying, hey, Dinah's coming and showing up. It was Dinah's going to go do her own research. And funny enough, my best friends that were my best men, I don't even know if I've told you this, but they had a day that they came over to my parents' house early when we started dating. And it was like, hey, I need to let y'all know this might be serious. So I need the scoop. Y'all know her better than I do. Let me know if I need to know if there's anything on the street that is going to catch me off guard. Has she dated anybody in church that I don't know? Like all these things that I was just like, I just want to know. It doesn't really matter. It's not going to sway me, but
right.
y'all my inside scoop. So mm-hmm. I think for both of us to have that within our close knit circles, because all these people ended up in our wedding. Mm-hmm. So it, from day one, it was, yeah, we can introduce you to people, but it just ended up being layers of just happening to know people based on mm-hmm. our circles. I think the only friend group I felt like I waited to introduce you to was my frat brothers. And even that was interesting. I remember the day I introduced you to my frat brothers and I had around two or three of them pull me aside. And based on my personal history, they said, don't mess this up. this is a good one that you found. Don't mess this up. And this mm-hmm. was from young men, 22, 23, not living lives that they're living now. So for them to have the forethought to say, For them to have the forethought and say, yeah, go, don't mess this up when I'm 21 at the time.
Yeah, you're 21.
I was young. I was honestly very young. And even when I got married, my dad pulled me aside and said, I know you love her and she's a great woman, but you understand that you're young. Because I got married at 24.
Okay.
So I understood it. I understood I stood out in that regard, but also knew what I wanted and what I had. So it made it a lot easier to introduce us to each to people, I felt. It's funny, we talk about our parents, but I remember one time, the time that I recognized I was okay with her dad. And we went to a close church family function that somebody, I just happened to be sitting there and I heard overheard somebody ask, hey, what do you think about Branson for your daughter? And he was like, I know their family. He's a good, respectable young man. I'm okay with it. And that's not something you expect to really just hear from somebody's father.
No, not at all.
Side-eyed every single person that I might have brought home, even if they were just friends. Like my dad, there's no reason to look at them like that, but he would side-eye everybody. So again, all of that background history, the familiarity between the two families, the friends, it all just worked out really well.
Yeah.
So when did you know you were going to propose?
Oh, that's actually funny too.
Because he was the first one to say, I love you.
I was, yeah. Yeah. She doesn't want to skip over that because it's an interesting thing that we both knew from the jump that we were working towards something together. Mm-hmm. But there are always stages in comfortability within certain aspects of your relationship.
Right.
And for me, I felt comfortable. I love hard. I know that about me. So for me, if I love you, I'm not going to hide it. So I kind of told her one night, and it, I say kind of, it was 3 months in, and I told her, I was like, I love you. And she hesitated and she said, thank you. And
that's just, not the worst response.
You know,
it's not really great, but it's not the
worst. I didn't know what to say. Like, I didn't know. I knew I had strong feelings for him and that I was headed there, but I have been forced to say I love you in previous relationships. And I didn't want to feel like I'm saying it because you said it.
Right.
And because we operated in that courtship and trying to just be really genuine in what we do and what we say, I didn't want to just tell him just because he told me.
Right.
So he said it and I was just like, thank you.
We should really workshop on what you should say in not just a you thing. It is very cultural. We don't know what to say unless like you say I love you back. Nobody's like, it's not I know.
What do you say? Like,
good.
My thank you was, you know, the most,
it's polite,
the least hurtful.
It is polite.
For sure.
And I was thankful that he, you know, he said it.
But it also, I think, takes a man that is willing to accept that for what it is.
For sure.
I think that's it's a two-way street. And I think that's an important piece of it. Because for me, I was kind of like, if you don't say it back, that's perfectly fine. It's not like I don't think you don't like me. It's not like I'm not going to love you just because you didn't say it back. I'm here. I'm not going nowhere. So
we love
for me,
a secure man.
We love it.
There you go. Yeah. For me, it just made it a lot easier to say, okay, that's off my chest. She understands how I feel. When you're ready, fine. But don't think I'm going to say it all the time and make you feel uncomfortable. I also don't want to create that unsafe environment for you. So we met each other halfway.
I can't remember when. I don't know how I said it either. When I first said that, I can't remember when. Because his person was so overshadowing of all the rest of it.
But
how did you know? When did you know you was going to propose, boo?
I knew I was going to propose after year two. So we got married after 3 years, but I proposed after.
Two and a half.
But the interesting thing is I knew I was going to marry her really early. It was more so getting over some of the natural mental hurdles that I think we put up for ourselves. I want to be ready in my career. I want to have enough money, all these check boxes that a lot of people talk about. I came to the conclusion you're never 100% ready. Wow. And with that, I I was taught from my dad to always, from my parents, I was taught to marry with the goal of building with somebody. So my understanding of I was never going to be 100% ready made me say, well, why not start building now? Mm-hmm. And it made a lot of sense with both of us having aspirations, Dinah being in school. I was already fully in my career. By the time we got married, I had already worked maybe 5 years in IT fully. So for me, it was, yes, I understood I was going to get married and be the breadwinner and all these regular terms that we throw around. But I also understood that long term, my wife was going to be in a profession. We would end up with a home. All these different things would just come in time. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to have them from the beginning. And honestly, being married makes them a lot easier at times for some of those pieces. So for me, after 2 years, I was kind of like, yeah, I think we're going to make a plan. The interesting part was the timing of that plan. Dinah had taken the MCAT 3 times. And was that right? Yeah, she had taken the MCAT 3 times.
I started dating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she had a career path change of going towards her master's and then planning for nursing school. And it was a very, very straightforward, hey, I'm starting nursing school next year. We kind of knew that. Mm-hmm. I was aware that that was her goal because of how well we worked together. So I'm at work one day in January to start the year. No, because it needs to be delivered this way. Yes. But I'm sitting at work. It's the times when your Android phone couldn't send one whole big message to an iPhone. So my phone buzzes. I get 4 or 5 messages and I'm like, hold on, what's going on? And she basically lets me know, very straightforward in the message, hey, I love you, nothing's wrong, but I want to be very straightforward that I'm starting nursing school next year. And with that being my priority, if we are not married or really in the same space 100%, mm-hmm. some of my time is going to be divvied up and dedicated to my program. You may see
an accelerated program.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I didn't really have time.
I don't have time for games.
In the same space and I'm studying, or you're going to see me less because I'm studying. That's all I was saying. I wasn't trying to put no fire underneath him. I wasn't trying to pressure him to do anything. I was just letting him know. Because, I mean, I was considering all of these things when applying to nurses. So like, okay, mm-hmm. if I get in.
I mean, sometimes you got to be honest with people, though. Correct. Because I don't think a lot of people always understand what accelerated programs and or master's and PhD programs require of mm-hmm. a student. So it's better to be upfront and be like, I won't have the time because mm-hmm. we want to get this completed, as opposed to being just like, oh, it'll be just like college. It's not like college at all.
It's not. And because of all the things that we had built, and I mean, I made a couple of changes. Nursing is where I'm supposed to be, praise God. So it just took me, I took the scenic route. But
love it.
Getting there, you know, he was with me the whole way. He was there. I was already in the midst of my master's program when we met. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, oh, well, let me go and try medical school, because I never really tried to get into medical. I just kind of let organic chemistry just defeat me. So I was like, let me try. But it just wasn't clicking. And that's because I was supposed to be a nurse this whole time. And I'm very happy with where I am. But like I said, I knew that the program that I had applied to was a 15 month. So normally something that takes 24 months, I did it in, well, it's supposed to be slated for 15. We'll talk about that later. 15 months. So it was no, there would be no time to play. There was no, mm-hmm. I would have to like, okay, this weekend is the weekend that we can do something, because all this other time, because I want to do well in my program. I want to make it on the hair, my chinny chin chin either. Right. So I was just letting him know, like, trying to set the expectation, like I said before, trying to set the standard of, hey, we spent a lot of time together, but that will change if I start nursing school and we haven't made certain moves. That's all.
And I understood it as such. It was setting expectations, and I understood. But what she didn't know is that while I was reading the message, I was sitting at work laughing, cackling really hard. Because what she did not know is I had already scheduled and planned and passed by her house while she was not there, while she was out one evening, either at work or something, her mom and dad at home. I planned and I went and asked for her hand in marriage already. Her sister was home and knew, but she sent me that message and I was just sitting there laughing like, oh, baby, you have no idea. I already have it scheduled to go buy your ring this week. I was already making plans for the engagement in February. We got engaged the first week of February and she said that like second week of January. And I was like, funny woman. But I took my sister's one weekend, went and bought a ring. And I was just like, she has no idea this is happening.
No. So we love this. We love this. Man. You both knew what you wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you did it. I love this. Mm-hmm. I'm loving every minute at the edge of my seat. Let's go. How'd you propose? Yeah.
Oh, let me tell this part of the story. Okay. So I got up that morning. I got dressed and my mom kept asking.
What kind of morning? What day?
It was a Sabbath.
Okay.
So I'm going to church, mm-hmm. getting ready for church. And my mom is like, is that what you want to wear? And I'm like, mommy, I look fine. I've worn this dress before. And she was like, you don't want to change? And I'm like, no, I'm fine.
Change so what?
I guess my outfit, like, you know, it wasn't the fanciest outfit. It was just, you know, a comfortable but cute. Mm-hmm. I was wearing my favorite color at the time, which was purple. And I was like, mommy, I'm fine. You know, I'm okay. And so she didn't press too much. And let me say this. She had just asked for I wore a ring that my grandmother, her mom had given me. And so she had asked for the ring because she wanted to get it sized or something. I thought nothing of it. She was sizing my finger. But anyways, that morning she's like, you want to change? I'm like, no, mom. So go to church. Everything is fine. I think we went to my mom's house for lunch. And we have an AY program. So we have a youth program in the evening on Saturday. So we're going back to church. And while I was on the way to church, I was on my phone watching a proposal on Facebook. And it was like, a surprise. Was it a surprise proposal and a wedding at the same time? Like, yes. I think you planned everything all at the same time. And I was like, boy, if you ever proposed to me like this, I don't know what I would do. I'd probably have to go run and call my roommate, who's very still like this, like call and be like, oh my God, I even thought that was a thing. And he just say nothing. He says nothing.
He's too close to home. Like, too close to home.
Okay.
Didn't say words.
So we get to church and he has all his saxophones and stuff. So I'm like, go to the back there. He's like, go in the church. And I'm like, okay. I was just trying to help. He's like, just go in the church. Go in the church. The church doors to the sanctuary are blacked out. And so I'm thinking, oh, his younger sister, Alicia. I'm like, oh, I thought Alicia was doing something cool. When I see blacked out lights, because I used to do theater, I thought they were doing like a skit or something. So I'm like, oh, okay, AY's going to be real cool. And I walk in the door and there's this girl standing on the podium with flowers and candles. And she's singing. And I'm like, oh, sorry, you're practicing. Let me close the door. And he like pushes me in like, no, go inside. And I'm like, but she's practicing. And it wasn't until I'm walking in and I'm here and I'm putting two and two together and I'm like, okay. This is a proposal. Okay, I'm about to get proposed to. Okay. So yeah, that's how we ended up there. And it was a good friend of his, Susan Carroll, that sang at our engagement. She finished singing and she was like, congratulations, guys. And she dipped out. And did we record it?
I'm literally sitting here thinking, recording technology was terrible in 2012.
Yeah, so we couldn't hear it.
2013, 14, whatever year, 14?
2014.
Mm-hmm. I look back at some of the stuff and I'm like, I can't believe we actually tried to record this with three different cameras from different angles. Just terrible quality.
He was there.
I mean, it happened. So
he said what he had to say. I don't remember any of it because I'm just sitting here like, oh my gosh, this is really happening. This is really happening. And he asked me, did you ask me? And then I was like, did you ask my dad? Like,
yeah, that was her first question. Did you ask my dad?
He's like, of course. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yes, and be like, yes, my dad. We can go back. I renege on my yes. So, yes, he said, you know, will you marry me? And the box that the ring came in had a light. So that thing was like shining.
It was in the dark in the sanctuary.
It was okay. Yeah, it was, you know, set it off. And I said yes. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, this happened. Like, this happened. I'm engaged now. And like everybody knew. So there were people on the outside of the church that knew what was going on in the sanctuary. our parents were waiting at my house, my parents' house for us, because they knew what was happening. Everybody knew except for me.
I was instructed of only one thing about a proposal. No public proposals, no big proposals.
Oh, for me, yes. I don't like those.
So it was
same.
So it was done in a private space where we met, and only our family was who we met with afterwards.
Mm-hmm. So small, intimate. So there was like no, so was there really a youth service happening, or did they just say?
No, AY was canceled for the afternoon.
I love that. That's the best surprise ever.
Yeah. And I was just like, wow, like, I didn't pick up on anything. That's what I said earlier. Like, I wasn't searching for marriage. So I wasn't like trying to sniff out clues or anything like that. But everybody else knew. Like, everybody, his best friends were there. His siblings knew. My siblings
my
knew.
My roommate from college is the one that brought Susan Carroll down to sing, because we all went to Texas A&M together. So I was like, can you drive to Houston for the afternoon so that she can come and sing for the proposal? Everybody knew except her.
Except for me.
So
I appreciate it, because I wanted to be surprised and I didn't want it to be public. And it was like semi-public. Like, we had our own space to do the yes and the conversation and that, you know, intimate time together, but then surrounded by family and friends, which was perfect. It was perfect. You did good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's such a beautiful story. I love it so much.
So much.
Okay, you guys got engaged. Did anything change?
I mean, it's funny. I always tell people there's a different air when you see somebody that you know you're going to be married to. Mm-hmm. For me, once we got engaged, I was just kind of like, that's going to be my wife. Like, little things change.
Got a bank account together?
We got a bank account together. I mean, there are things that were
that was a big deal for me, because my mother always taught me not to mix money with no man. Okay, so.
Sure. No, so big deal.
We wasn't mixing no money until, you know, we was actually official. So getting a bank account for me was a big deal.
It's funny you say that, but I kind of mow over it. But I mean, there were things that we took marriage counseling seriously. Oh, yeah. It was not an assumption that, oh, we had never had a big blow up and we didn't have any issues. It was an understanding that the joining of two people can be difficult in certain regards, and we're raised differently in certain regards. So the money thing, I remember the money thing, we went to counseling and we thought it would be an easy thing. It ended up being maybe a three week conversation before we actually acted on it. And it's not to say we had never talked about money before. Mm-hmm. It was specific understandings of, well, what would be your apprehension to do that? What were you taught in regards to money? And what are your expectations long-term for how we manage money, for how we do certain things, for how we prioritize certain things within the house? Mm-hmm. And it became really an open line of communication to say, well, this is what I was taught. And I also don't want to hold on to some of these things that I might not have agreed with, but there are certain things that I was taught that I am going to hold on to. Mm-hmm. And coming to terms with that, not just for money, but for other things, really made it a true engagement period. We were engaged for 11 months.
Yeah, about
10 and a half, 11 months. Okay, 10 months.
Yeah, like 9 after we got secret married.
Yeah, we got secret married.
Yep, we're at that part.
So, I mean, we have our engagement. We're going through the year. But
let's talk about wedding planning. That's how I thought we got to the secret marriage. So the secret marriage was more so, the secret wedding was more so, we're the first of each of our parents' children to get married. Mm-hmm. Because of our familiar history, it was a big deal. And a lot of people wanted to come to this wedding. And I have always pictured a small wedding. I'm used to small weddings. I wanted a small wedding, but everybody else wanted me to have a big wedding. And so for us to get our small wedding, we got married, like, was it a Thursday? Mm-hmm. We got married in the middle of the week. In my parents' backyard when everybody else was at work. My godfather, who was our premarital counselor and who did officiated our wedding, also secret married us in the backyard of the wedding. Got a little, I wasn't wearing white. I wasn't wearing a wedding dress or anything. I did my hair how he liked. And we did the traditional vows, you know, promise, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. We did the traditional vows at that wedding ceremony. And our two witnesses were two people that we still trust very much to this day, they had just had a baby 2 weeks before. So they were the only people we knew that would be at home in the middle of the week to be our witness. So they brought their 2 week baby and they were our witness to our secret backyard wedding. And that was November 20th. Mm-hmm. Nothing changed. So Nothing. We didn't exchange rings. Nothing. We didn't change names. We didn't start living together. Nothing okay. changed.
Nothing
we
changed.
Were just literally married on paper. And that we say it for the small wedding, but also I needed insurance for nursing school. And I was on nobody's nursing school because I had turned 26. So I had no insurance. Dang.
Thanks, yeah. Obama.
So, so I had nobody's insurance. So in order to start nursing school, I need to get on insurance because we had a full-time job. We did that so I can get on the insurance.
That's called adult.
That is enrollment season.
So,
and you got that 2014 deductible?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did. Yes, we
annual
did.
Taxes. Hey. Yes,
so
certainly.
That's how we got in secret married. That was our sixth. So we celebrate three different anniversaries. Our dating or our founding anniversary, July 20th. Then we got married on November 20th. And we had our wedding on January 1st, 2015. So we celebrate all three.
First.
Yeah, we got married on New Year's
Day. Always a reason to have fireworks.
Yeah. They got married on New Year's Day, which was also in the middle of the week. I think it was a Thursday we got married on. So.
Yeah,
that's how it worked out. I would like to say the engagement part, one thing that did change was a lot of our conversations. Yeah. We did talk a lot about like what we wanted to do for relationship-wise, mm-hmm. but now that we're headed toward marriage, we talked a lot about what we did not want based off of what our parents did. Mm-hmm. So we pointed out things that were a problem for our parents and how we did not want those things to be an issue. Communication mm-hmm. was one big thing. Finances for my family. So we did a lot of work on those in particular mm-hmm. during that engagement process because we wanted to flesh those out. And even now we're married almost 9 years now, and we're still working out communication, but just because we've progressed in life, things have changed mm-hmm. for ourselves. So we did do a lot of focusing on that, on truly preparing for the marriage versus getting caught up in preparing for the wedding.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
So what was year one of marriage like for you guys then?
I got pregnant in 2 weeks. I got pregnant in 2 weeks. We got married January 1st, 2015. We moved into our house Valentine's Day. My childhood home on Valentine's Day. On February 28th, my period did not show up. Pregnancy test. By the time I got to the doctor, I was already 6 weeks pregnant. And we were talking about waiting for 3 years. So that first year was set being pregnant, girl. So, pregnancy in nursing school. That's what it was.
So I really wanted to put into scope some of the emotions. We got married January 1st. We took our honeymoon, went to
Vegas
for 3 days,
and then
flew back and drove directly to New Orleans for another 3 days. Mm-hmm. Great honeymoon for us. New Orleans is our favorite city. So for us, it was just a good time to just relax.
Yeah.
We lived at our parents' house for the first month as we were getting stuff ready before we moved, which was interesting. Not in a bad way, just lived at somebody else's house. Different.
Yeah.
As a married person, I used to be there as the boyfriend.
Little friend.
Yeah, the little friend. The little friend.
Correct.
That's the right term. But it was we moved, and then it very quickly became, oh, we're pregnant. But the interesting part was I was working at oil and gas, and I had a coworker that got us a second honeymoon. So we had a honeymoon in January and another one planned for basically like spring break.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
The week before spring break is when we found out we were mm-hmm. pregnant. Mm-hmm. So we are going to
Mexico,
all inclusive. The plan is to
turn up.
And
there's no turning up.
It was not a turn up time.
It was not a turn up. We had a good time, but
we had a good time.
We were trying to make decisions
mm-hmm.
On how to move forward because I have always gone to school.
Mm-hmm.
So in the midst of my I started nursing school at the same time. I had to turn my thinking of me being unplanned pregnancy being a failure. Because I'm married now. I'm not like I'm single and I got pregnant. I am married. I got pregnant for my husband, our child.
As my mother would say, we have a piece of paper.
So I had to change that mindset. So it took us a little while to be like, okay, we're going to honestly like move forward with this, or we're going to make some moves. And it wasn't until we took that trip and we really sat down and was like, okay, let's talk about this. Cause when we go back home, reality hits, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
So that trip, they made it sound like, okay, we're about to have us a baby. And he was born October.
Yep.
The first year of marriage, I thought was great. Did have to deal with some mental things because, like I said, I wasn't planning for pregnancy. So I had to like kind of get used to being pregnant, becoming a mom, what that looked like for me being a nurse at school. You know, he was the only one working, having enough money, all those kind of things. But after I became comfortable with being pregnant, he was laid off after Labor Day.
Labor Day, yep.
Yeah, he was laid off after Labor Day from oil and gas.
Before she gave birth.
And those last like 4 to 6 weeks,
I don't think you understand. That was a gift from God. We look back at that, and that was some of the best time in life.
Really?
I was laid off after working 5 years in oil and gas. I'd been their intern, and they threw a baby shower for us the week before I was laid off.
It's like they knew it was coming because they set us up really nice.
He had
worked there as an intern. So like he went from intern to full-time employee. One of the only Black men that was in his apartment. So they took as much as a good person in real life, he's a good person at work too. So they hooked us up. We were taking care of really well.
Really good care.
And then the following week he was laid off because of oil and gas. That's the time when gas was like, nobody was buying gas and all that. That was that time. So those 4 to 6 weeks for me were great because I also was off from school because I was due in the middle of the semester. I was like, I'm not going to try to push through to get to the end of semester. So I just took that semester off. So I was at home. So when he was at home with me, he was getting severance package and unemployment. So he was actually making more money the time he was laid off than when he was actually working.
Nice.
Baby, we was eating and sleeping. Okay. Eating, sleeping, doing stuff around the house. Going grocery shopping in the middle of the night.
3 o'clock runs to Burger King.
Let's go get something to eat. Let's go find some 24-hour spot because we can. Sleeping until 10, taking naps in the middle. Like, just enjoying the last semester, like that last trimester with my husband. Not worried. While he was looking for a job, but we're not worried about money because we're making money. No, I know that my school setup is ready when I go back.
That semester.
Our family lives here. So everybody's like, don't worry about the boy. Don't worry about the baby. We'll help you take care of the baby. So it was just a very comfortable and freeing time. So that whole...
That's great.
Yeah, like August to December was wonderful. I mean, I hustled, you know, before that. But for me, I enjoyed our first year because of how God set that up. With the being laid off at that time. So we spent a lot of time together. And then maybe after 2 weeks, you went back to work. And that part was sad because he was working on the north side. I don't know if you know from Houston, we live on the south side. So he's like an hour away, hour and 30 with traffic. And he hated that job. He hated that job. That job was terrible. I was going to tell him like, just quit and come back home. And we'll figure it out. But you know, he's a man trying to make, you know, take care of his family. But that was right before Christmas, like around Christmas.
No, I got that job in November.
Yeah. And then he worked it through Christmas. And then I think he quit it like in February.
I'm not a quitter. I don't leave jobs. I don't believe in, oh, it's too hard, just leave. I was treated poorly. And I kind of got to a point that I said, oh, no, I don't deserve this from anyone. And I left the job. And I left that job to be at another job for 6 years. It was the right time to move. It was the right job. I got moved back on the south side of town. it just worked really well, but it also made me recognize God's going to take care of you, but you still have a part to play.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, this might not be the job I like or want, but I went through a staffing agency to make sure I could feed my family, and it did its job. The first year, I think the biggest thing for me was because it was our first kid, I didn't really recognize what went into pregnancy. And I say that as in like time-wise and planning and all those things. For me, that third trimester, once we got to the point that it was every other week and then every week for OB-GYN appointments, I was like, God, I couldn't do this if I was at a job.
On the north side,
And so for me to be able to go there every week with her,
never miss an appointment.
And never miss an appointment. Went there every week. Every week we stop and go eat. Eat lunch after.
Yeah, I was like, we're going to the point we're going to go eat before or after.
Like, we typically we go after so that her blood pressure wasn't up. But it was, yeah. Because we went to a Mexican spot once, and when we showed up, she was like, what happened?
Your blood pressure? And I'm like, I'm supposed to have Mexican food. What you mean?
Yeah. But year one for me made me just look forward to the future. Because I told you, my goal was always to build with somebody. So the fact that a baby showed up in year one, I lost my job in year one. We were living at her parents in her childhood home. So I already felt like we were getting the home discount. It was kind of like, God is taking care of us. But if we're doing our part, this will continue to get better. Mm-hmm. So year one for me was optimistic, very optimistic in my eyes.
You guys had such an eventful year one.
Yeah.
Very. Very.
So as time went on, how did you guys handle, I guess, being parents and married life and finding time for each other? How did that work?
I think we're very blessed. Like I said, we have all of our family here. So our parents, all of our siblings, my aunt, which is my children's great aunt, they're all here. And our baby was the first grandbaby on both sides, the first the great nephew on both sides. So everybody's very excited and wants to take the baby. So parenthood, transitioning to parenthood was a lot of mental work for me. Mm-hmm. Michael Brown, what happened to Michael Brown happened when I was pregnant with Eli, and a lot of mental work of knowing that I'm having I didn't know what I was having during both my pregnancies, but just knowing that I'm having a black child, right? Mm-hmm. And I wanted a boy. It was very heavy on me. So the transition to parenthood, I'm used to taking care of children. I'm used to babies. Things that were new to me, like breastfeeding and stuff like that, were new. But overall, taking care of a child was not the burden for me. What was the burden was like raising my child, making sure that he is a man of valor, a man of, you know, substance. And even if I raise him right, these people will still see him as just a black boy and still treat him like he's just a black boy, treat him as a stereotype. Those were the things that were very difficult for me to try to fight through mentally, because all I wanted to do is protect my children. Mm-hmm. And eventually I'm raising you to send you out.
Right.
So that part of